Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Rebecca, I'm super excited to talk to you today. You've lost about 35 pounds, we figured out, which is crazy, over the last year or so, and been through tons of traveling and social situations and some difficult times as well. I'm super excited to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your dieting history and where you were a couple of years ago.
Sure. I was vegetarian in college and I've been vegan for about 7 years now. My first real diet, I think, was also in college. I tried South Beach and I did that over my winter break. So I had like gained some weight. I came home, I lost a bunch of weight, like a lot of weight, and then went back to school and I continued my lifestyle in college, drinking late night snacks kind of things. So then I did like Whole 30. I also counted calories and macros, and I even took diet pills one time. So,
oh, wow. But
yeah, none of that really like worked because I didn't obviously learn any kind of like habit changes or anything. So, and I just gained it all.
Okay. And so, and what do you think was the reason that those didn't feel sustainable for you?
I think most of it felt like really restrictive. I lost the weight and everything, but it was really hard. I remember like with South Beach specifically, like really wanting to like eat other things. And it was such a mental struggle to like stay on plan. And that's not really the case now. It's a lot easier.
Because what kind of things did you have to eat for South Beach?
It was low carb, so
I had this conversation with someone the other day and they were telling me how they did a low carb diet for 3 months, and she's like, I was really, really good. It was really strict. I ate half a grape in that time. I'm like, oh, okay, whoa, like that's dedication right there.
Yeah.
Definitely not sustainable though.
Definitely not.
Okay. So did you lose any weight when you went vegan then?
I don't think so. I think I did when I was vegetarian because I was more interested in like nutrition and stuff at the time. I really just dove in on that. But vegan was just like fun to find all the vegan junk foods and like vegan like food festivals and stuff you can go to. So I did that. It was just all about all the vegan options. And also I like to like bake a lot. Mm-hmm. So I was like really felt like it was my responsibility to like bake delicious vegan cakes and stuff. Like I always did all the birthday cakes for the family and stuff. And it was like such a moment of pride to be like, and it's vegan.
Oh, I see. Like, yeah, because you sound like one of those people who are really trying to, or maybe were really trying to show that veganism can be not just carrot sticks. I was like that as well.
Yeah.
Did you ever get any pushback where like people, or even internally, where people would know that you were vegan and you're still struggling with wanting to lose weight or dieting and trying these different things?
I don't think so. I mean, like the worst of it was probably just like my family making fun of it or something. But
So you did the South Beach, you did some diet pills. Where were you at a year ago when you started to lose this in a sustainable way? What changed for you?
Learning and understanding like calorie density was a big thing, and making sure I was eating enough starches to keep me full throughout the day. Like there were times when I would like eat healthy, eat salads and stuff like throughout the day, and then I'd get home and I'd eat like there's so many nights where I had chips and salsa for dinner because it was just easy to grab, and I was learning that I needed to be eating more throughout the day and that I needed like starches to keep me full throughout the day was like huge. Also, kind of narrowing down my meal choices and options to just like a few core ones that I could just whip up in a few minutes, just that helped eliminate that decision fatigue and go for that versus anything else.
Cool. I mean, I want to get into that in a bit more depth, but I wanted to back up a second. So when you came into Lean with Plants, when you started to change, what made you realize that you needed to change, or how did you find this lifestyle?
Yeah, I think YouTube videos and stuff like that. I found you through High Carb Hannah, I think. Yeah, it just sounded like appealing, though, like the way that you would the way that your program's designed, the way that you describe and explain things, it just kind of clicked in place for me in a way that made sense.
Yeah, I want to go into that a bit more, because I remember for myself, like when I first found Chef AJ, because I was really just scrolling to try and find anything that didn't feel as restrictive as a raw diet. I was like, I just can't do another raw diet. And when I found the video about calorie density, I started to have this light bulb moment of, hey, food has calories, which I knew. But the reason that I had not been able to lose weight or had gained weight was just too many calories. I was like, huh, it's so simple, but something just instantly clicked when I realized that.
I think for me too, like obviously I understood the calories, or I guess I thought I understood them, but being able to like know what is like a calorie dense option versus low calorie dense foods and the whole, I don't know, it was, you probably were explaining it like kind of like diluting the calories. So like I could still like have the pasta, but just add a ton of vegetables to it. And then I have this big meal that is satisfying, filling, and like it's still like very similar amount of calories that it would have, but just a lot more food.
Yeah, like that was the thing that changed for me as well, was realizing that it was how I built my plates. And so before, I would always put, when I was trying to eat healthy, I would put like tons of cashew cream, or like real like tahini based dressings, or like tons of avocado, and then I'd have this tiny little salad, or else I'd juice like 20 oranges, which is probably 700, 800 calories, and I'd drink that in 10 minutes. And I thought, well, because it's raw, because it's healthy, that's great. And then I realized, okay, no, I need to c cook up mushrooms and spinach and tomatoes and potato, and have a tiny bit of cashew cream on the side, or a tiny bit of avocado. And so the structure of my plate started to drastically change.
Yeah, that was a shift for me too, which is that's something I learned in the last like couple years with you. And it's kind of interesting how like natural it is now for me to build my plates that way with like a little bit of the like richer things or the like fattier stuff just for some extra flavor, but it doesn't have to be a big portion of it to be able to.
It's pretty freeing when you actually start to realize what to do, not just following someone else's rules. So when you were going through this process of like building these new habits, and rather than just getting home and eating chips and salsa, how did you go through that change of building these kind of meals and resisting those temptation foods?
I definitely had to like get them out of my environment because knowing they were there was enough of a temptation for me. But also like prepping, having things prepped and ready for me to easily grab, that was effective up to a point, but getting all of that stuff out of my space was really like a huge like game changer, I think, for me to actually start to see results is getting that out of there.
What would you say to someone who they're like, no, I don't want to have them. I want them for my kids or my husband. Did you have to have any hard conversations with anyone?
I just live with one person, my husband, and he's not vegan. So I've had many conversations with him about it. And I mean, I just do you want to just like know what I did?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. So like I just asked him probably like the first or second like hard conversation I had with him. And I told him what I wanted, what my goals were, what I was trying to do. And it was just like, just can we just do this for like a week? And then it'd be like, okay, can we do it another week and kind of just kind of build on that. And then I know it's not like fair or like realistic to expect him to not like want to eat the stuff he wants to eat too. So something that works for us now is like I have a hard line, like I will not eat it if it's not vegan. So he can bring in all the cookies, all the chips, anything he wants, as long as it's not vegan. And that works.
So you've got a system there where you know that you're not going to be tempted by those foods. And Rebecca, like, you're such a confrontational person. No, I'm kidding. I just had to do that for your reaction.
Like who?
How did you start to learn this as a skill set? Because it wasn't just with your hubs. I know that you've started to have these kind of conversations with many people in your life.
Yeah, there's like quite a few like memorable like conversations I think I've had. I had one with like a family member of mine who she's my sister-in-law. We are really good friends and we go out together, like we just are very similar people. We like doing a lot of stuff together and not drinking and kind of communicating that with her was that she was the last person that I have like she was like the final person for me. It was hard because I was like, gosh, like I'm so scared she's not gonna want to like hang out with me anymore, or something like that. But it was fine. I just kind of like told her that I was, trying to cut back on the drinking and stuff. And then eventually, like that kind of just like led into a conversation about how I ate too. That one I didn't really like lead the conversation on it. It was because she started asking that I started sharing. So I was really nervous about her being judgmental about it, like not eating the oil. Like she knew I was vegan, obviously. So it's just like it. I think for some people, it sounds so restrictive when you're like, and I don't eat oil anymore.
I'm not only am I the weird vegan, I also don't eat all these other things.
And then I had a weekend away with friends that I was nervous about. So like we like obviously I've navigated like an evening out of like not drinking. Drinking alcohol is like a really hard part of my lifestyle to like finally kind of get a little bit more under control. It was really hard for me throughout this and. So like a night out or whatever, like it was that was those became more successful, but it was just a few hours or whatever. So this weekend away with friends, we were out of town, we rented a house together. I was really like stressing about it. I talked to my coach about that, and I had the conversation with one friend And I told her that I wasn't going to drink. And it was that she's the only one that I really told that to in advance. And it was kind of nice because I had her as like a little like support for the weekend. And I had kind of come up with a plan for the weekend. We were going to a concert. And I was like, well, if I want to at that point that night, I will have like a drink or two kind of thing. And like, allow myself to just do that kind of thing, but not, I don't need to do that the rest of the weekend that we're out of town. But when it came to the night of the concert, I was like, I don't really feel like it. I've been having a good weekend so far. I haven't had any alcohol and I'm still having a good time. And the only one other person like asked me why I wasn't drinking. And it wasn't from a place of judgment. She just was like genuinely curious, like why? And it was like not a big deal. And getting through that weekend, it like made me, I was so proud of myself. And I was like felt empowered. And I was like, yes, I can really do this, like it gave me that. Yeah, I just was really proud of myself for that. So another one, this was specifically with travel, I guess, was, I guess I didn't really have like the hard conversations for it. It was just kind of getting the, just putting in the reps and asking for things that I needed and kind of taking up space. Was, yeah, that was hard because I'm probably like a lot of people, like I don't want to inconvenience the people around me. Like when it came to like starting to do work travel, that was new for me. And I was just like grateful to have a vegan option, which most of the time was just, a lot of people don't understand that it also means no dairy. So a lot of times it was just like a really sad side salad was my option, and I would be like, it's fine, kind of thing. And I kind of went a couple work trips like that, and then I finally, like in more recent one, because of my coach, I was like, if I'm not gonna have like a good enough option for me, and I can't bring stuff with me because I flew here and I didn't have a microwave or whatever in my hotel room to kind of prepare like a potato or something, I'm just gonna order something from somewhere. Like, and I did this twice. I ordered a big, massive salad and just had it delivered to the office. And I was like, I'm gonna have that for myself because everybody else is having all this stuff and I should have that too, kind of thing. And when we would go out for dinners or something, it took me a while to get comfortable asking the waiter for, it felt like I was asking for special requests, and I guess I kind of was. But we're at a Mexican restaurant once, and I was like, okay, I'll get the fajitas, but then I was like, oh, they're still gonna be so oily though. And I was like, just do it, just ask, and I was like, before we went to the restaurant, I had like looked at the menu and everything ahead of time, and I like sat myself at the end of the table because I was like, I'll be more comfortable asking over there, not in front of everyone else. And I just asked the waitress, I was like, is it possible to have these steamed, instead of like sauteed in the oil? And she's like, oh yeah, no problem. We do that all the time. And I was like, oh my God, this was built up in my head. Like it was going to be this huge inconvenience for them. And it's not at all.
That's massive, eh? Because so many people are held back by just not wanting to take up space and not wanting to ask for what they need.
That was me most, a good portion of last year. It really took me a while to do it. And every time I did it and it was fine and successful and nobody like pointed and laughed at me or anything like that, it just helped me do it again and again and again. So
That's so powerful. I saw this thing on Instagram and it was a reel, and the girl was saying why it's good to be cringe. And she was basically saying that every time that you do something that you think is cringy, you're doing two things. The first one is that you're teaching yourself that you can be in uncomfortable situations and that you survive.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like essentially desensitizing yourself to it. And then the second one is you let other people know that it's okay to take up space. And I thought that was really beautiful.
Yeah, I like that. Also, like, you're just being yourself too. Like, you're being authentic. You should, why go your whole life and not and worry about what other people are thinking? Like, you do what you need to do for yourself.
Yeah, 100%. What kind of changes have you noticed since you've started to build the skill set? How has that changed for you in terms of the food that you're eating and how easy it is to travel and go out? Like, what changes have you noticed?
I mean, I'm like more comfortable in environments like that. I mean, more than I was. I'm not like, it's not like so easy now, but it is.
Yeah.
But as far as like what travel looks like for me, when I do travel, like I always bring instant oatmeal with me on work trips because I eat the same thing for breakfast every day. It's just oatmeal. I love it. I'm not bored of it at all. It's my family lovingly pokes fun at me for how much I love oatmeal.
Peasant food.
I bring that and I have that for in the hotel room before I like go into the office and stuff. And I like bring baby carrots. I eat a ton of baby carrots. I have like asked to stop at a grocery store. Like we're together, my colleagues in the car. And I'm like, can we just stop at this grocery store? I'm gonna run in. I got this like 2-pound bag of baby carrots and some fruit and stuff like that. And I was like, cause I need this for and want this for myself to snack on, just to have, so I'm not like ravenous when we do go out to eat. And it's like I share it with people too. And like we had a trip recently that I did this on, and other people were like happy to be eating fresh food and stuff. Like,
yeah,
I think
yeah.
So often it's just like chips or granola bars or something like that. That's kind
Yeah.
of provided like snack food. And people were like going for those oranges and going for the carrots. And it's like other people are happy to eat healthy too. So,
yeah. It's almost like you give people permission to eat that way. And then they feel better about their choices. They feel better about their bodies as well.
Yeah, I did find that out, and I was like really like pleased to see that, because I was like, I don't feel alone. Like, look at this, it's totally healthy, guys.
Yeah, like cool, healthy is cool. Have you seen those like the content where people will say, like, when you used to be the fun friend and then like point of view as you become the boring friend and you start like taking care of yourself, like you stop drinking, you start like working out and buying healthy food. Have
I
you
haven't
seen
seen
those?
I have not, but I feel like that's me. I'm so boring a lot of times.
Yeah. Well, how has losing these 35 pounds and building the skill set around food, like what changes have you noticed in your life? Like, how has that affected you? Because I remember for myself, like it happened quite early on, where even though I hadn't lost a ton of weight yet, just seeing that I could stay consistent gave me more confidence. Just seeing that I could say no for the first time was like, wow, I can do hard things. I can keep commitments to myself. But then when I'd lost most of the weight, I just felt vastly different. I didn't feel like I had to hide anymore. I felt like I had more energy. I could be the mom that I wanted to be. And there's all this stuff where you hear online that losing weight, like if you hate your body, losing weight and changing is not going to make you love yourself, which I do agree with. But at the same time, I've seen how much of a positive effect all of this has had on me and how vastly different my confidence is now. So I'm curious for you, like, what's been your experience of actually losing this? Because you look so different. I mean, listeners aren't going to be able to see this. Go into the Spotify app if you want to actually watch the podcast, but you look so different from when we first talked about a year ago.
Yeah, I know. I don't really like notice it, and there's like a couple of, like photos my face, because like my family will be like, "Your face is so much thinner," and I'm like, and then I see a picture, and I'm like, "Whoa, it really is!" Like, not
Yeah.
quite healthy. I think I have like more confidence in like taking up the space that I need now. I'm less quiet, I guess, about it. I'm not afraid to like bring the baby carrots with me to like an event or activity or something like that. I don't really like care as much what other people are thinking, because this is what works for me, and I'm happy doing it, and I feel really good. So yeah.
Yeah. Like, so when you think about how you used to feel when you had tried all these other diets and you like you lost the weight, but that you would gain it back. When you look in the mirror now, how does that feel?
I mean, I feel like I look better. I feel good. I mean, I'm not like where I want to be, but I'm really happy with the progress that I've made. Physically and stuff, it is one thing, but I feel like I've been doing this a long time. I don't know if you know when I joined Native Plants, but a lot of time that I've been here, like learning the habits and stuff has been like more, it has felt even better for me, because it is so sustainable. I've been doing this a long time. It may have been a slow loss, but it's definitely a sustainable loss. Like, I haven't gone back to my starting weight, like, and it's been a couple years now. Like, and in the past, it would like past attempts to lose weight, like, I would lose it fast. I didn't learn anything in the process, and then it'd be like, I'm gonna do this diet, and I start an end date, I get to that number, whatever that I was shooting for, and then it was like, okay, now I can go back to the way it was before. I can go back to eating how I was eating or something like that. But this is just like how I live now. So I don't know. I feel like that is a huge like value lesson that I've had, I guess. I mean, like, obviously I'm happy with how I look. I've been buying like clothes and stuff, and it's like more fun to get dressed now. I don't feel as like bloated and sickly, I guess, in my stomach. Like, I had all these like stomach pains before. And I like went to the doctor about it, and they put me on this like a low FODMAP or something like that to try. It's kind of like elimination to kind of figure out like what foods are bothering you. But I eat all those foods now, and what I don't eat is all the processed stuff that was making me sick at heart. So like, I feel like better in that way. So
I love that. I love that you've done this in a way where you have built systems and you have built this in a way that will last. And I remember having this revelation when I first started to change my diet, was that if in 6 months, because I wanted to lose about 40 pounds, and I realized that if I lost that in 6 months, but then another 6 months from that point, so a year down the track, I'd gained it all back, then it wouldn't have mattered that it had only taken 6 months. Like, it wouldn't matter. If I was had to do that yo-yo cycle for the rest of my life, I didn't want it. And so at that point, I knew that whatever I tried was going to have to feel like I could keep doing it, because otherwise I wasn't going to keep those results. And that was a big mental shift.
I mean, I can relate to that. Like, I know I see people through the program that have lost more weight than I have, and they did it in a shorter amount of time. Like, they hit their goal weight, like, I don't know, a few months into it, and I'm like, not to my goal weight, but I'm like over a year into this. And but I'm not worried at all about gaining it back anymore. Like, it is the way that I live my life now. So
Yeah, I think that's a man, it's so fascinating. I've been thinking about this a lot recently. There's a a girl that I follow on social media, and she talks about social media growth and business. And about a year ago, I mean, she appeared to be super successful. But about a year ago, she's just like, peace out. I'm going on an indefinite sabbatical, deleting all my social media. She had like 700,000 followers on, or subscribers on YouTube. And everyone was just like shocked that she could just quit like that. But the thing was, she was running on this treadmill essentially with her business, where it had just gotten so difficult that she just couldn't maintain it. And so now she's back. She's just come back and she's trying to do things in a lot more sustainable way. But it just got me thinking, because one of the things she said was, in some ways, that she just blew up too quickly and she got all the results, but she didn't have the processes there. She didn't have the skill set there where she knew how to hire people well or how to make really, really good decisions with having a lot of resources and things like that. And it's a similar thing. It's like, yeah, some people can do it faster. Great. Like, kudos to them. But the more important question is this going to last? Because when we got to think about speed on a longer timeline, we got to think about speed and what's the quickest way to get to my goal so that 10 years from now, I'm still at it. If that took 6 months or it took a year, it doesn't matter, as long as you get to that 10-year mark. But if it did take 4 months and then at 10 years in, you have nothing, then it's like, it doesn't matter how fast it was.
Yeah. You know, my family, like my mom and my aunt, like actually like most of my family is like overweight. And my aunt, she's like always trying to lose weight. And we have like some, you know, friends or whatever. The only reason I'm like thinking about this is because it's a comment that my dad had made, I don't know, like a year ago or something, about like, oh, she's on another like diet or something like that. And he was talking about how, oh, you know, she just gains it back, you know, and she just keeps gaining it back and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, like I've like kept this off. And I know that like my family kind of like, I mean, they're used to it now, but you know, it's like, oh, that's how Rebecca eats or whatever, you know, kind of thing. But I've kept it off, and it's not like it was just like this quick fix that, you know, like I've learned so much to do it and to keep it off. So
yeah, that's awesome. It's like the story of the tortoise and the hare, and I always think about that because there's nothing wrong with fast, and there's nothing inherently amazing about slow either. That's the thing. People always think that the moral of the story is that slow and steady wins the race, and it's not. It's just that you keep making progress, you keep putting one step in front of the other. Like, that's the only thing that counts.
Yeah, I mean, I could have done this faster for sure. I know exactly the parts of the process that I, you know, could have done better to have made progress faster, but I like have done a lot of new things. Like the work travel, for instance, was like a new thing for me. My mom's cancer diagnosis was like an added stressor for me. Like there were pieces through my life, and I still like lived my life, but I was still making progress. It was slow, but I am an emotional eater. So like, yeah, I would like, I want to reach for those things. Or yeah, I went to the store and I did buy myself a bag of chips. So you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't perfect throughout the whole thing, and I definitely could have done things better, but it's still better than it used to be.
Yeah.
It's still seeing progress. So
yeah. Yeah. It's a mindset shift. I think about this quite often when I go to work out, because there's so many days where my workouts are really half-assed, and I'll go for like 10, 20 minutes, especially the last couple of weeks, because I've felt really demoralized. I've got this knee injury. And so I go and I'm like, most of my time's on the bike, and then I'm doing all my knee stuff. And then it's like, okay, now I got to do one or two things and then I have to leave. Anyway, it's gotten me think about the fact that I just need to go and I just need to show up. And yeah, I wish that I was stronger. I wish that I had built more muscle by now. I wish I looked like some of the people I see on Instagram. But that wasn't the other option.
if I'm comparing two options, my other option, what I would normally do was just give up. So it's not like when we compare things, we have to be really clear that we're looking at what are our default patterns and then breaking and improving those things rather than just saying, hey, like, what was this like hypothetical, best, amazing, perfect version of myself that I've got no evidence exists, what they would have done. Like, that's not relevant. It's only relevant that you're making improvements on who you actually are, which you've done. I want to dive into this a bit more where you've built these systems, even though you've gone through some really tough times and you have dealt with emotional eating. How did you do that?
A common system I feel like that you've talked about before and that a lot of people have is that roll and prep system. So mm-hmm. I always have things prepped. I always have starches prepped. I used to buy bags of like carrots and I'd peel them and chop them myself because I thought that was like healthier or something. I don't know. But now it's like I buy baby carrots and like a pound each. So I know that I'm like, and I love carrots it too, just as much as I love oatmeal. And then also like frozen bags of broccoli that I can just steam. Like I don't wash and prep vegetables as much as I used to. And, but I'm okay with that because I'm adjusting to my circumstances and life is really stressful. So like, that's, you know, like I did a lot more in the beginning and now I'm just like, just have a starch prepped, have some vegetables prepared. And I buy store-bought hummus and I am okay with like eating that because I'm getting my pound of vegetables. I have a tasty dip. I have potatoes or rice or whatever. Those are my go-to starches. But yeah, so I have that rolling prep system for myself and I've been doing it for so long. Like it really has become like second nature for me. It's just instinctual. I was talking to my husband about this the other day. I'm like, I don't even think about having to do those things. I just do them. And it's a lifesaver because I have time to think about other things and focus on other things because I have a good system in place.
Yeah, it's crazy how important it is to simplify and make things as easy as possible so you actually do them.
I really have like recently like made it even simpler for myself. Like what I just said about the baby carrots, for instance. But yeah, I was like, I just gotta focus on one step forward. I just gotta, you know, like get the oatmeal tomorrow and do it again. You know, it's like I used to think like so long term, you know, like months out or a week out or whatever. Now I'm like, tomorrow, just, you know.
Yeah. And how have you navigated wanting to emotionally eat in those times where you have wanted to reach for things? Do you have any systems that have helped you to stop that?
For the most part, I just have like, I like candy, like that. That's my like sweet junk food of choice. like not chocolate so much. So just like a really good fruit sometimes cuts it for me, frozen fruit. And I do have like frozen bananas for like ice cream, but that's not always perfect. And sometimes I get stuff from the store and I have it, but I'm like better. I'm okay with tossing things now. Whereas I used to be like, oh, I feel like bad wasting this. Like I better just keep it around because I spent the money or it's so wasteful or whatever. But now I'm like, okay, I had like the 4 or 5 pieces of candy. Like I don't need the rest of the bag and I can just like toss it out.
How do you do that? Because a lot of people worried about wasting things. My husband does this actually. He'll start eating something and he'll be like, oh, I don't really like it. And it will be like a pre-made meal or something that's really calorie dense, like not good for him. And then I'm like, if you don't like this, why are you eating it? I will eat something I don't like if it's broccoli, but I'm not going to force myself to finish something that is not good for me in the first place. That to me is the waste, not the 20 cents you're a dollar that you spent on this thing that was like from reduced to clear.
Yeah, I actually heard, I read this in a book. Have you read Crying in H Mart yet?
No, I haven't.
So there is a line in the book where her mom says something about like, it's more of a waste to like fill your stomach than it is to like toss the food. Like if you're eating something you don't like, don't keep putting it in your stomach, you know, and like filling up your stomach kind of thing. And I was like, ooh, I kind of like the way that sounds. I probably did not get it right, but for me otherwise, I think I have done it enough times where I have eaten the food and not felt good about it that now I know how I will feel. So I'm just, it's just not, it's not going to add to my life. It's not going to make me feel good to eat the thing that I'm not happy to be eating. So it makes it easier to toss it then. Yeah. Or like if I have a moment in the night, you know, like in the evening or something, and then the next day I'm like, that needs to leave. I need to get that out of kind of thing. Throw it out.
Yeah, I love it. From what we've talked about so far, the biggest things that are standing out to me is, first of all, having an environment that supports your goals and your behavior that you want. And then secondly, taking up space, having hard conversations, saying what you need from other people. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is that it's okay to waste things, essentially, like you're allowed to throw things out, which kind of goes back to the first point, which is have an environment that's conducive to your success. For you, and then also looking at like where you've come from and the improvements that you've made, not just where you hypothetically should be. Is there any other mindset shifts or frameworks that you use now that have helped you to become so successful in your systems?
I mean, I think just to like add on would probably be like the simplifying.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what I forgot. That's huge. That is such a huge one. It's funny because almost every single time that I do an interview like this, people are eating so flippin' simply. That it is such a big common trait of people that stay consistent as they make things easy and they make them simple.
Yep. I mean, like, I don't know if somebody said it in like a pod or something, or maybe you said it, but like meals like don't have to make sense. And that's like always stuck with me. And like I can have this like little bit of this and I can have a little bit of that because I like those things. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to make sense together, but I'm getting my vegetables, I'm getting my starches, you know.
And it's like girl dinner every night.
I do like doing that. Like I'll make myself a little like tray of like snacks kind of thing. And it'll be like a bunch of chopped up vegetables, a dip. I'll make like air fried potatoes, like fries kind of thing. And it makes me feel like eating like just a bunch of snacks, which just sometimes for me, especially when I'm craving that.
Yeah, I do a similar thing and I'll do like air fried tofu and stuff in there. And my kids love it. Like for anyone who's got, if you're fussy or if your kids are fussy, then just making like finger foods, like what do they call it? I can't remember, but just having foods that you can dip into things is really attractive and appealing in some weird way that when that food is all together, isn't.
also like having like sliced up fruit or whatever and just like put it out on the table. Like my sister-in-law did this the other day. She chopped up some grapefruit and some orange slices and she put it on the table and everybody was just going for it. And I was like, that's way better. And like the kids liked it and everything. It didn't have to be cookies. There were also cookies there, but you know what was on the table? Fruit. And everybody was going for the fruit.
Yeah. I love that. So when you think about advice and you think about communicating this with people who were where you were, that hadn't built these systems, do you have any piece of advice that you think you would have wanted to know or that would be helpful for others?
I think when it comes to like having the hard conversations, have them sooner and like have patience with the people that you're having these conversations with, because they're learning this too. And I mean, it depends who you're talking to, but if it's a family member, they love you and they like, you know, they hopefully want to, you know, like help you out, you know, and just, they may not understand what you're doing. You may have to have the conversation more than once. I certainly have had to with my husband, and I know he's not trying to sabotage me. He just kind of forgets or whatever. Yeah. And like, just ask yourself, like, what's like the worst thing that's going to happen if, you know, if you want to like take up space, like what's the worst thing that's going to happen? If you need to have that tough conversation, what's the worst thing that's really going to happen? The best is you're going to get what you need.
Yeah. And the worst thing is someone just says no. Like that's, like at a restaurant,
like,
they just say no.
Yeah.
You can survive a no. Someone was telling me about a book the other day, and they said it's basically about rejection proofing yourself. So you do all these little things to start teaching yourself that it's okay to be rejected. So it would start with things like asking for a pen or like asking for someone to change your order at a restaurant. But the thing that they found was really interesting was that people will actually give you or help you out to such a higher degree than what is expected. It's just that most people never get into the habit of asking.
I know. I think we build it up in our heads so much that it's going to be this huge issue or something, but it's really not.
Yeah.
At all. I had a friend, she had just the rejection thing you were talking about made me think of it. And her therapist had like, I don't know, challenged her to like do so many things throughout the week, like to, you know, I don't know if it necessarily was a failure, maybe it's something you talked about too, but, just to get you comfortable, like doing those things, as inviting somebody to go somewhere, like whatever it is, just to get some no's or, you know, to fail a little, because it helps you, I don't know, get used to it.
Yeah. So build confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I used to be so resistant to it until I started to read books and get around people that did have another level of success, and just having that mindset shift that this is a character trait of successful people. There's no way to get around it. Like, successful people ask for what they need. They use other people, not use them in a bad way, but they leverage other people's help. They take up space. And if that brings up internal resistance for anyone that's listening, it's only because it's just not a skill set for you yet. It's only because there's something in your brain saying you can't take up space, it's an inconvenience, like people aren't going to like you. Like, all those things aren't accurate. They're just a worldview that you currently hold.
It's like you filled in blanks that aren't necessarily true.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm actually trying to teach my daughters to be really good at asking for things. So every time we go to a restaurant or we go anywhere, if they want something, I'll be like, okay, you go ask. So if they want more water on the table, I'm like, okay, you go ask the person. Or if they want a napkin, yeah, okay, just go up and ask. Or if we're like in a shop and they don't know where something is, I'm like, okay, you go ask. Like, you go and have these conversations. And it's great because I don't have to go and do it. Plus I'm teaching them, but it's so normal for them now to go and ask for something that they need. I'm like, how cool is it that they're learning this at a young age?
That is really cool.
Was there anything that you'd go back and tell yourself at the start of your journey?
Oh my God. Well, I wasn't in coaching at the start of my journey. So, but I would have probably said something like, just like, listen to your coach, and also just like document it all, take the pictures even if you don't want to. Just be honest, because it's just gonna help yourself. Like, not being honest about it isn't gonna do you any favors.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest regrets actually, is that I don't have more pictures or more footage.
I've heard so many people say that, and I know we're at the start of my journey being like, I don't want to know. I don't want to see this. And also, like, there was a part of me at the start that didn't think that I would actually be successful. So yep. I was like, well, I don't want to take the picture and then not have an after. Like,
yeah, exactly. I know. It's such a positive thing to do, though, not just for weight loss, but to create milestones in your life so that you can measure progress. Because if you're not measuring progress, you're just going to feel demotivated all the time.
Celebrate those little successes that you
celebrate
have.
It. Yeah, exactly. I heard this thing that there's some kind of coach in the fitness industry, and he with his clients, he measures so many data points to make sure that every single time someone trains, they can hit a PB in some area, or they can have something that is like a milestone, because he knows how motivating that is for people.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I even see that like with my job, and I'm like, be kind of down, feeling like I'm just like not doing good enough or something. And I'll say to myself, like, you just need a little win. Just find a win today. Like, how can you win today? Kind of thing. Just to keep me moving forward.
Yeah. I used to think that that was a cop out. I used to think that that was like a sign of weakness to kind of artificially create wins. But I've since learned that that's the only way that you have enough motivation to keep going when things are hard. Because if you're not making progress, you may as well give up.
Yeah. Just got to take that little step.
That little step. So what is one change? If you were going to give a friend advice and they came to you and they're like, what's one thing that I can change to start seeing results? What would you tell them?
Simplify. That's too easy. Eat vegetables.
Pounds of carrots? Bags of pounds of baby carrots?
It's just like this ongoing joke now that I've always got baby carrots with me.
I love it. If you find something that works and it's simple and you don't even have to weigh them out, you just know you're getting your pound in every day because you've just got a bag. Like that's working smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
So eat the veggies. You heard it here first. Thank you so much, Rebecca. It's been great to talk to you. I've loved to hear about your simplified systems, and then also just how you've started to take up space. To see someone navigate that, who that's not default for them, is really, really inspiring. Because I think if you can do this, I mean, I feel like anyone can do it, right?
Definitely.
I love that. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate you, and I can't wait to see you continue to make progress.
Thank you.